Ladies and gentlemen, we here at Hey Kids Comics have a very special announcement for you. If you can hear our voices... That's Jedi Cole and Andrew Farmer here at Hey Kids Comics. Then you can also see our faces.
Yes, at last. If you haven't had enough of seeing my face on the Rancor Pit Live, why, what's this?
Now you can see both of our faces from Hey Kids Comics Live, starting September 13th. From 11:30 to 12:30 Central at deepelemonair.com, we're going to be coming to you live with Hey Kids Comics.
Absolutely. Second Saturday of every month forever.
Expect the same asshattery that you're getting here now, plus your standard fare of guests, and a whole lot of fun. So,
and some special new features that we just can't bring you on an audio show.
That's true.
Unless you just wanted to listen to us describe things.
And it's a much longer show. It's a much longer show that way. So, Cole, tell them how they can get in touch with us if they want to be able to be a part of this show.
Do you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and want to be a part of Hey Kids Comics Live?
Hey Kids Comics Live!
Hey Kids Comics Live! So, if you want to be part of the show, write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com and let us know that you want to be on the show. Just put Hey Kids Comics Live, or for those pressed for time, HKC !Live.
Remember the phrase that pays, it's Hey Kids Comics Live. And we will make sure that we get your question or comment into the show. You can also write us or call us on air. We're going to give you all that information coming up on Facebook and on Twitter, and as we get it on the show itself. So stay tuned for your regularly scheduled Hey Kids Comics and more info on this as it develops. Everybody, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, as always, Andrew Farmer. With me is the physically impossible angles that don't exist in nature, quantum defiable Cole Houston.
Jedi Jinkleman.
Jedi Cole Jinkleman. Master of the Jinkleman effect. That's right. It's like one of those mystery houses.
That's right, yeah. Nothing where water flows up and...
And it's always your dick.
And that's a whole different story.
Because tonight we're talking about something that Cole and I have bandied about quite a few times, and that would be the interesting aspects of what would drive a comic book world economy. Because it's so vast and different that every once in a while we'll come up with just this, you know, random idea that this wouldn't make sense in the world of comics, or this would, or this would be more important than that. And we decided that it'd probably be a good idea to do an entire show about it.
Absolutely. And of course, as the years have gone on, comics today, it almost becomes like Star Trek, the classic series, versus Star Trek, the Next Generation. And it's like, you fly along and you go to a planet and you get in a fight.
Right.
And then the Next Generation comes along. It's like, yeah, but how did you get there exactly? And what precisely, how exactly is it possible for that alien to be, iron-based instead of carbon-based? Because iron's not a good... Shut up!
Right. What happens when you leave?
Yeah. Like, just let us enjoy the damn thing and leave it at that. But, the thing about it is there is a point in the mid-80s where you begin to see a switch to more sophisticated storytelling.
Right.
And then that begins to not only create more questions, but then try to answer those questions instead of just leaving them there.
And by answering questions, you only create more questions.
That's so true. Which led to this, which is just chock full of us casting about for answers.
Right, and that's where the bulk of our shows come from. It's just in the dark, just feeling our way with our hands, trying to figure out stuff. So this is issue 107. Thank you if you watched our live show. It's on Deep Elm on Air.
Yes.
The second Saturday.
If you haven't seen it yet, the first issue of the live show is still going to be there for another couple of weeks. The archive will remain, but then in a couple of weeks, on October 11th, we have a very special treat that works for you.
And one thing that we keep forgetting to mention because we get caught up in the heat of battle is, you know, there would be no 107 issues of Hey Kids Comics. There would be no live show. There would be no, you know, video selfies or posts to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you, everybody, for continuing to support us. And, you know,
both here in the States and around the world, it is a joy to me when I go and look at some of the stats on the Jedi Cult Universe site, and I'm going in behind the scenes and checking out, and it's like, wow, someone in Reunion tuned us in, and God
really
bless you too.
Yeah,
I had to. I had to look up precisely where you were if you're tuning into this show, but it's amazing to see how many countries every day, every week, every month are, you know, responsible for some of these page views, or
right?
You know, it's been an amazing journey so far in the last nearly 4 years of the JCU.
You know, it's funny is if you happen to end up being the dictator of one of those countries.
Wow, good work there, jumping in on my.
Yeah, it's called a segue.
I've been working.
Yeah.
Well, that's a link, ma'am.
That's professionalism, is what that is. Chances are you're going to die. Because it's, in our research for doing this issue of Hey Kids Comics, we came across some, you know, kicking around ideas. Just really dangerous jobs that you could have in any comic book universe. And, pretty much top of the list is the leader of any nation. You're the target.
Especially dictators.
And there are
so many of them.
Because unlike now where you go to the UN and you know, you just don't play in the sandbox well with others, now you've got to contend with Black Adam showing up at your front door angry with you about something, or S.H.I.E.L.D. busting down your door, Nick Fury climbing up through your toilet.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Your gold
robo toilet.
That's right. And that's why it's important, I think, if you are the dictator of some inexplicably technologically advanced yet tiny European country like Dr. Doom.
Yes.
To surround yourself with decoy Doom bots, just in case of the odd assassination attempts.
So here's the other question I have, right? Doom's running a country. Which means he's got to be in charge of, you know, keeping the peace and setting down the laws and making sure, you know, holding court for his Romany populi. Who's making these Doom bots for him? Other Doom bots? Because I think that there was a certain story out there that warned us against that happening.
Yeah, I could be other Doom bots. The thing is, once you've built a few specialized Doom bots.
Right.
That are more like constructo bots. Because they can be kind of plain. They don't have to look like you. It'd be unseemly for the leader of a country to even appear in effigy, to be sullying his hands or his gauntlets, if you will, with the common laborer work of assembling Doom bots. But also, you know, the people of Latveria are largely in the thrall of Dr. Doom.
Right.
You know, when you have a name like Doom.
Yes.
Or Dr. Doom, no less. You're making it quite clear. Chances are Latveria does not field a World Cup team. They do not field an Olympic team.
Right.
Because they don't want anyone other than apparently Dr. Doom himself to leave the country. Meanwhile, Dr. Doom leaves the country more often than any American president, even the most reviled for taking a lot of vacation time.
Right.
Whatever left you know, the capital to enjoy some fun in the sun, which is another reason you need Doombots, apparently, because you're constantly time traveling or
helping the Fantastic Four begrudgingly.
Yeah, or trying to destroy them.
Right.
And then the most galling thing about that is that Doom will go and brazenly attack the Fantastic Four at the Baxter Building, right there in the lobby, causing death and destruction. And then he's back at the airport. Oh, diplomatic immunity.
Right.
I'm the leader of a country. What are you going to do? You know, as the leader of the country, would that not be considered an act of war?
I just made myself laugh. I'm sorry. For some reason, "don't touch my pouch" made me laugh. I don't know why.
I didn't realize he had one.
Yeah, he has to have a diplomatic pouch, right?
Oh, I mean, that's so true, diplomatic pouch.
Diplomatic pouch. Why isn't there a superhero called the Diplomatic Pouch?
I think there are a lot of reasons you don't have that.
I think that the Muggerville 7 universe might need the Diplomatic Pouch. He's the only member of the Muggerville universe that's outside of Muggerville that comes in, and literally no one can touch him.
That's like, right.
Their hand passes right through him, but he can interact with them mundane.
He can punch them.
Right.
They can't punch back.
But
it's like punching air.
Ambassador from Der Muggerspiel makes it so that he's not exactly the most martial of characters, so it doesn't do much to throw punches. So what other dangerous jobs are out there now? Because here's the thing about the economy's turned on its head in a comic book universe, because the things that we enjoy today have to have changed because of the rampant technology and
who's going to settle for just having a car?
Right.
I mean, right now, you know, we're kind of like, well, sure, they're building that spaceport, and you know, the ultra rich will be able to go on space flights, or maybe spaceport in America to Paris in like 20 minutes. You make this kind of atmospheric. And granted, maybe in about 30 years, that'll be a milk run. And there'll be, economy flights and People Express of the stars. But, you know, after a while, once that sort of thing gets in, then the more of these technologies out there, the more everybody wants it. You know,
right.
There was a time when, if you look at the movie Caddyshack, you know, Dr. Beeper's got his giant beeper there. And then maybe 5 years later, everybody had beepers.
Right.
And then, the rich people had the giant brick phones. And then the brick phone gave way. So, you know, eventually, Joe Average is going to have, you know, you think Amazon wants to have little drones flying around with your package, which I think is a great idea. If, you know, I'm going to order like some kind of like a video game on Amazon, and it's buzzing over from their warehouse, and some yahoo out in the sticks shoots it down with his 12 gauge.
I just want to be able to order shake and bake pre-shaken.
Oh, there you go. But, you know, once you have things like Quinjets flying around,
right?
Is American Airlines going to settle for a Boeing 727? It'll be a cancel. I don't care. Charge me a back order or a restock fee. I don't want those damn things anymore.
Well,
we're buying Quinjets from now on.
Doesn't being like kind of a standard infantryman, the foot soldier, kind of go to the wayside at some point in this thing? Because, like you were saying, when you can get a Quinjet, fly it into your building, wherever it is, in New York or L.A., just, you know, fly it in. Like, at some point, like, no-fly zones and are really hard to enforce when
you've got
pre-technology built into your...
Well, that or, you know, when countless alien species, speaking of milk runs, you know, are constantly coming to Earth to do everything from invade to just, you know, they really, really got to pee, so they, like, you know, Galactus kind of comes in behind the Earth and takes a whiz.
Yeah, well,
it's like nobody can see him because it's like out.
It's the Love's truck stop.
Exactly, or it's like a tree on the side of the highway. You know, do we really want our planet to be that tree on the side of the highway? I don't think so. But speaking of no-fly zones, well, you can fly in from any angle.
Right.
You know, right. Linear spatial geometry goes right out the door.
When you can teleport.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we've kind of built our defense structure on two dimensions. Maybe, it's three dimensions, the X, Y, and Z, but there's no, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, 35th dimension.
Yeah, like when, Batmite can just sort of will himself into your living room.
Right.
Any old time without, so much as a phone call.
So every R&D department needs, an arcade and a forge and a...
Exactly.
Like,
well, here's an idea. What about normal cops? I mean, the situation is addressed to some degree in Watchmen, because you knew I was going to go there. But the cops go on strike because of all the vigilantes running around trying to do their job as amateurs.
Right.
And at what point do when it goes beyond just amateur cops? When it gets to the point where, nobody can touch the ordnance these guys have.
Well, and you need essentially super cops, what was it, Powers? So you need those, but
well,
here's
God
the question.
Well, God forbid, Savage Dragon.
Oh, God forbid. Literally.
Yeah.
The
God question... forbid Savage Dragon and Eric Larson didn't listen.
Forbade. Thank you. The question I have is, where does the money come from?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you can't hire super cop for the same amount of money that you hire a normal cop.
Yeah, because super cop could make more money, on the some kind of exhibition circuit.
Right, and where does the money come for your tech? Because you're obviously, we're seeing people freak out right now because of the militarization of the police force, where they've got, APVs, armored personnel vehicles, with flamethrowers and rocket launchers on them. Imagine if you had to have a Quartian battle tank on your police force.
Or one of those, a smaller version of one of those big Godzilla electro zappers.
Right,
remember the big Godzilla tasers that they would wheel out that were completely... And the thing is, Godzilla shows up and they wheel these things out. What were you building that for in the first place?
Exactly.
I mean, the rest of the world's like, whoa, what the hell were you up to? Oh, no, we just kind of knew giant monsters were coming.
But think about all the mundane jobs that have to change.
Yeah.
Like for instance, the one that's been coming to mind more recently, as I get older... And the movies are coming out, right? Because it's really easy to read a comic book and put it to the side. But when you're shown in a lot of cases three dimensions, just the mass and wanton destruction of cities and what resources like Tony Stark's resources that he puts in,
yeah,
right. What does the IRS look like in this world? Do you need to have a super CPA somewhere that knows how to write off buildings and suits of hyper-technological armor and, ordnance?
How do you go about policing the war machines and obviously the Punishers are kind of working outside any real concern about the legal system, but you got your war machines, you got your other characters who have some pretty heavy duty ordnance, and unless you're like in Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando and you know how to ask the right questions, and all of a sudden the Men in Black pawn shop turns around and there you have this secret room with everything brazenly on display. The Kmart of illegal weapons. How do you manage to, where do you get the resources to combat that sort of activity going on, or at least police it or monitor?
What's the per diem?
I've lost your sound. You there?
Yeah. Okay.
Man, we're back. So you're about to ask, what's the per diem?
No, what's the per diem on a run to Cree? you know, what's the cost? Where does it come from?
Yeah, well, and actually, you know, who is paying the salaries of the Justice League and the Avengers and
right?
And how much does it cost? You know, and like when the Avengers go and fight in the Kree-Skrull Wars, do they get some of the reparation money? And what, you know, do the Kree Flentaries?
Yeah, is there
does that have a conversion rate?
Is there a conversion, and, you know, office at every airport that'll convert from Wadonkian, whatever they have, the Panther head coins?
yeah. What are they Wakandan Panthers?
Everything's Panthers.
Yeah. You have your bronze Panthers, your platinum Panthers, and your. Just depending on the, it's kind of like the gold dragons and stuff in Game of Thrones, you know, everything's just
different
denominations of Panther.
So I would really like to know who's taking, like, do they have to call in a guy? Is there a guy for that? What is there a guy for in the realm of comic books? There's got to be a guy for everything.
Yeah.
For specialized.
Well, you'd also talk about, like, say, you know, the advent of the Quinjet, for example. Let's say the Quinjet technology takes off, and, you know, the Avengers are no longer the biggest buyer of Quinjets.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, the airline companies, they want to move into the Quinjets. They want a piece of that action. And the thing is, what that does, you know, technology expands exponentially. It's not additive, it's multiplicative.
Right.
So, you know, once somebody else gets their hands on the Quinjet technology, then they're patenting something even better. Everybody's always building this better mousetrap. And while all that's going on, you know, it's like Joe Shadetree, who used to be able to fix up your car. You know, what the hell's going on anymore?
Exactly.
He opens it up, looks a lot like an engine, but there's like a wire stuck into every damn thing. And then all of a sudden you come hoving into the machine, you know, into the shop in the mechanics department over at the American Airlines with the Quinjet. No one knows what the hell to do with it. You know, they're opening up. I think it's the bypass valve.
So, like, did you have
a set of ball
bearings? Schools or
dress this valve with some clean worn oil and some gauze pads. And give me a set of number 12 ball bearings. It's all booked with ball bearings these days, boys.
It's just right.
Maybe you need a refresher course.
Like, it strikes me that everybody, you know, like you are the one that kind of was the catalyst for this whole issue when we started talking about the medical field.
Oh, yes.
In comic, you know, for superheroes, like,
yeah, because you would have to create a whole new specialization, you know. Oh, I'm going to go into pediatrics after my, you know, after
right.
my residency. I was thinking about psychology. My father was a psychologist. I'm going into super medicine.
Yeah, exactly.
Super medicine, because I mean, if you have somebody who has the ability to rend diamonds from anthracite coal in their bare hands, then the nature of the way their muscles and bones and their skin works, everything about them, they may look completely human, and they may be a strange visitor from another planet. What's the, you know, Who knows anything about Kryptonian medicine? You think those whales in Star Trek were in trouble? They just had one person in the entire 31st century knew shit about whales? There's like nobody. If Martian Manhunter gets sick, his entire culture is dead, and they took all the medical knowledge with them.
Is there Doctors Without Borders, without planets?
I mean, yeah, literally, is there, I mean, you know, did he have one of the little medical book that, like, they give nurses?
Right. Can you go on Amazon and buy the Kree physiognomy?
I mean, let's just say, for example, that the Justice League go on a camping trip and John Johns gets bitten by a rattlesnake. That actually might be good for him.
We don't know.
Yeah, it might
No one knows.
He might give him sniffles. It might kill him instantly. It might make him high. It might give him another freaking superpower, like he isn't already hogging enough of them already.
Right. I mean, it's hard enough for, like, cab drivers in every 80s movie to deliver a baby on the way to the airport.
Every 80s movie.
Why? How hard is it when it's She-Hulk delivering a baby in the back of a cab? Who do you call for that? Doctor Strange? He doesn't know. He's not a doctor.
He's not an OBGYN.
Right. He didn't...
They don't teach us everything, you know. Doctors aren't like the professor on Gilligan's Island. They kind of, you know.
Why isn't there a Grey's Anatomy type TV show all about super doctors?
Well, then also you'd have super forensic medicine.
Right.
You know, one of the things that inspired this was a story I was writing about basically like super detective. You know, police detectives, not that they were super detectives, but, you know, you would have to learn how to recognize things.
Right.
That defy all the norms.
That go against everything that is standard in police work.
Like, you know, when Quincy opens the guy up and he looks perfectly fine, and once he gets inside, you know, the guy's heart's pulped like a squad, like, you know, Solid grabbing the bad date. It's, you know, you got to know that, well, obviously what happened here is like somebody with the vision powers reaches in, grabs the guy's heart, and kind of gives it a good double choke. And
yeah, you need super Emmy. You need super...
These guys aren't cheap either.
Right. So my question is this.
They're going to demand a higher premium for their work.
Why isn't there a super team of forensic investigators out there that you know, guys with powers like Daredevil and you know, guys like that can,
because those guys are even more expensive.
Well, they're gonna have, that's the whole point.
But you can get like regular guys who figured all this out on their own because they're smart, because the superpowered guys who can figure all this stuff out are horrendously expensive. Because they can afford to demand any price they want.
But you can't just go, here's another one. You can't just go to Josse Banks at the outlet mall and pick up a suit.
Oh, that's so true.
When you're a superhero, you were saying earlier before we started recording, you were talking about the unstable molecules.
I wish I could pick up a super suit at Josse A. Bank, though. Because sometimes I'll have that, like, buy one, get two free.
But
I'm just saying, you know, excluding unstable molecules.
Yeah.
The Gold Series dress suits and shoes.
How specialized do you have to be?
And rocket boots.
To be able to work with that material.
Yes.
How specialized do you have to be able to say, for I don't know, whoever, somebody to walk in to your store and say, I need a super suit. You know, I'm fighting crime now. First of all, they have to be totally and completely in your confidence. It has to be, legally binding. They need a notary on site needs a notary on site that makes sure that they don't divulge.
Either that, or you have to have, like, you know, everybody, like, you have to call in Zatanna. I gotta go buy a new suit. Damn it! So she has to come along to say backward, you know, forget you knew who we were.
Exactly, and or you just have a you know, somebody with that kind of power on site.
Then they also would have to then do that to themselves.
Well, they would have to be in and of themselves some sort of, you know, with something to lose, some sort of superhero. You have to make an appointment.
What you have to do is, like, the Justice League as a team, because they've obviously, you know, speaking of Zatanna, they've done this kind of crooked stuff before.
That's true.
You know, collectively, is that as a team, they have found their tailor or tailors. They have kidnapped their entire families. So if you ever reveal anything about us to anyone, now we know Batman knows it all. It's okay. Doesn't count. But anybody other than Batman, can we get the last guy we were here for days? other than Batman ever finds out.
Well, the thing is, Batman makes his own. Batman is just sitting in the Batcave somewhere, you know, with a Singer sewing machine. Like, that's the most mundane. That's the part they never show.
He gives the hunchback dwarf guy.
Oh, God, the Snaggletooth hunchback.
Snaggletooth hunchback, yeah. He gets the duty.
He gets the, well, he also
or,
gets the job.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's married, you know. Like, Mrs. Snaggletooth hunchback does all the sewing.
But that's the part. They'll never show a superhero going to the bathroom, and they never show a superhero making his own costume. Those are the two things that you never get to see. But
sometimes you'll see them fixing their costume.
Right. If you want to give the portrayal that the character is particularly poor, you'll see them fixing their own costume a la Spider-Man. Which, again, with the pain and suffering that a spider suit goes through, I'd realize that he's a genius, that he's on par with Reed Richards, but he obviously doesn't have the resources.
Yeah, so Richards has got some bank, man.
And he doesn't have the Batman resources to order bat ears in bulk of 2,000 to throw everybody off his scent.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have the, and also, you know, he's a pretty decent photographer.
Right.
Because he can pull off taking pictures without even being there.
Right!
And apparently use an entire roll of film to get one shot of Spider-Man's ass. Because he has to leave the thing just running nonstop, or else he's got maybe one of those little trigger mechanisms like they use to photograph jaguars in the wild. You know, where it'll just, you know, it'll photo trap type of thing.
Still, you can get a picture of Spider-Man's ass, but still no pictures of a Yeti.
Yeah, what's going on with that? That's putting all the Yeti hunters out of business, too.
How can all this technology exist and nobody's found a Yeti yet?
I know.
That's my confusion. But
I think that they're putting their resources in the wrong damn direction.
I think so. But again, where does this money? You want to talk about a gap in the middle class? You want to talk about a barbell economy? You've got all your normal working people, and then you have to have super geniuses that can make a costume. Do you just hire those guys onto the SHIELD payroll, or, like, how does that work?
Like, also what happens if, like, you know, you're working for the Avengers, and then you get, you know, maybe there's hadn't been a lot of super villain activity in a while, and they're gonna have to lay somebody off. Last in, first out. You know, Iron Man, Ant-Man, Wasp, Thor, Hulk.
Right.
They got tenure.
Right.
They're untouchable. But everybody else, you know, you wonder why the roster changes so often. It's layoffs. They can't afford all these guys. Have you seen that George Perez poster? There's like 110 of them.
They get all excited and then hire in a bunch of people.
Yeah, they're a small business. When you get right down to it.
Right.
They're one of the biggest small businesses in America. And, you know, but let's say, for example, you don't have the benefit of getting hired onto the Avengers. You were talking about, like, you know, Spider-Man earlier. The guys like Spider-Man and Superman and characters like that who have to hold down a regular job.
Exactly.
And somehow pull that off. I mean, most people, if, you know, you miss a day of work, you can maybe get away with it. But if you miss like 3 days of work and you come in with like a giant gash in your head and
right.
You know, after a while you're going to be out there on the street with Hercules and what's his name? You know, some of those guys that got laid off from the Avengers.
At that point, do you have to go get like a small business? Yeah, you almost have to start your own business.
Yeah.
Like landscaping or plumbing or
Come nobody who isn't like, you know, somebody who has like a small architecture firm,
right?
Where they don't, you know, they're never in the office, but nobody cares because that's normal. Or like, you know, they have a florist shop, or I guess, you know, Green Arrow did for a while there. Oliver Queen there for a while, retired from being a rich millionaire to being a rich millionaire who owned a small florist shop.
That hired his wife in to work there.
Yeah, but you know, you could be like the on the Americans, you know, where you run a little travel agency, but you're never there because you're too busy out spying, or in the case of superheroes, superheroing.
Right.
And, you know, that sort of thing. How come you never had characters like that? They're usually working for the man. And somehow amazingly forgiving bosses.
Yeah. Like, guys that just let you, like Clark Kent, for instance. He invents, the internet exists now.
Yeah.
It exists. You can't just invent an uprising in Kandahar and go cover it for a week and a half while you're up, while you're rubbing one out in your Fortress of Solitude. Like, you know, cause you're sad cause something happened.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. So, how do you get away with that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, he's still the fastest typist on the planet.
That's true.
You know, when the computer keyboard arrived, he had a little bit of a learning curve there. They went through a lot. I don't know, some kind of a keyboard vandal chief keeps coming in and smashing up all of our keyboards.
I don't know how that works, yeah.
I wish we had one of those photo trap things like the Daily Bugle has, so we could catch him in the act.
He's got adamantium mice at this point.
But, you know, oh, there's so many things that, you know, so many normal jobs that would go away and so many new jobs that would be created for things that no one even knows what they are yet.
Right.
And you were talking about, like, your rank-and-file soldier, your military would have to change drastically.
Yeah.
You know, you think military spending's out of control when you have earthly threats.
Exactly.
When every nation in the world is having to point guns at each other and at the sky on a constant right. basis.
Who do you, you know, how much does a fourth dimension quantum shield that you have to build over your entire country cost these days anyway?
Yeah. And then the biggest problem is to get it custom shaped to fit the borders of your country.
Exactly.
And you want to have very precise cartography there, because the last thing in the world you want is Canada bitching about how yet again your shield got interfering with theirs. And
their teleport technology.
Yeah.
I think the thing that we're missing here is taxes. Because taxes have to go up dramatically.
Hey, I got uncle's in taxes.
Taxes have to go up dramatically to pay for this. That's the only way. Because when you have things like, do you remember damage control?
Oh, I wish I didn't.
Yeah, you don't. Damage Control was a comic book that Marvel put out. I think it was in either the late 80s or the early 90s. I can't remember which. Where it was all about the crew, the contracting crew that are out there for when you wreck a city. They're the guys that go in and clean it up. Recently, they've been re-added to the Marvel Universe in,
Indeed.
In Spider-Man's cartoon. There was yeah, I would really love to see the Damage Control come back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, cause it kind of puts you in the mind of the Bat, parachute retrieval service.
Right?
From the, 60s Batman. The few times that they ever had to slow the Batmobile very quickly with the parachute deployment, and then they would disengage the parachute and be on their way, then almost immediately the guys from the Bat Parachute Retrieval Service would be on the scene to collect that.
Exactly.
Get that crap right off the street.
So that's another one.
Because that was back when Gotham was a place where decent people would want to live.
Right. But the you know, you've got to pay these people to do their job. So where does that money come from? There's no special influx unless there's like alien money coming in that we don't know about, you know, some alien underwriting that's happening that we're not aware of. So I think that the money has to come from taxes.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think is hilarious, or the one job that I think would be hilarious along the lines of the costumer job, would be the dry cleaner or the crime scene cleanup services.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the guys that come in and clean up, you know, that have to biohazard clean up a crime scene for the family that lives in the apartment building the giant steel I-beam went through because...
Exactly.
Because Galactus decided to come to town to pee behind our tree. I mean, just either you become extremely self-sufficient to the point of Robinson Crusoe, or you have to hire these people out to come to your house to do this.
Well, the other thing that you would run into is the potential for a new breed of crime. That,
okay.
You know, you get these situations, you know, where like the, you know, Atlantis attacks.
Right.
And they...
Even Atlantis wishes it didn't attack.
Yeah.
Right?
But, you know, Namor goes crazy again. He conjures up Giganto. The big fisty whale comes crawling up out of the sea and starts knocking over buildings and stuff. And then they realize, right. Oh, no, it's just another... Sorry, just had a bad day. We're heading back to Atlantis, folks. Sorry. False alarm. Well, you know, that's a lot of cleanup work. A lot of contractors have to be brought in. Tons of insurance money is getting expended. You know, every insurer in the world would have gone bankrupt in the first 5 years of the Marvel Universe.
Exactly.
But, you know, then you would start to have a new breed of super villain who basically, you know, let's say you're contracting business, you're not getting a lot of business lately.
Right!
And you know, you think the mob goes and leans on people to get their people, you know, get jobs for their, the businesses they own.
Right.
You know, imagine a super mob or a super villain who's like, you know, going and deliberately, you know, pissing off some alien war fleet.
Yes.
So it'll come and attack a part of New York, so you can maybe, you know, clean up on that, or, you know, if you had weather, like, you know, hire a weather wizard to go and just devastate some neighborhoods and make it look on the natural. And then that way you and your boys can come in and, you know, and offer all kinds of deals on roofing.
Right.
You know, because it, who would know? Could have been Weather Wizard, could have been an act of God. You know, Weather Wizard tends to, you know, go after banks and stuff. The smart supervillains are the ones who have the bankable powers like that that mimic natural disasters.
The arson for insurance.
Precisely, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
We guarantee. We will, like, you know, and then also the, just the nature of, you know, assassins and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, superpowered assassins would be one of the worst things that ever happened to the world, but they'd make a hell of a lot of money.
Right. So you would need superpowered bodyguards to guard you from superpower assassins. It's just, it's really a war of escalating means at that point.
Exactly.
To the point where there's no middle class. Everybody's got to have a power. Everybody's got to have something that makes them special in order to survive in the economy.
Oh yeah, and then one of the other things you're going to run into also is that economy. I mean, how do you sustain an economy in this world where everything is under a constant attack? It would be like, you know, if there were earthquakes in Los Angeles every third day.
Right.
You would never have time to rebuild the infrastructure. And, you know, you think things go a little awry when you have a major disaster, or, you know, some other thing happens, or, you know, when a country is at war, it can throw a lot of things off. And, you know, when your country is at war with Atlantis, or with the Skrulls, or,
yes,
you know, it's, you don't even have time to have like a metal drive or anything like that.
You're not selling war bonds.
Yeah. And pretty soon, you know, Earth would be pretty well devastated, and that's kind of what leads to the future Imperfect Hulk. He really didn't kill all the other heroes. They just went all bankrupt, and they're out on the breadline. And Hulk, just all he has to do is go, like, you know, go to the nuclear vessels and bask in the...
The Hulk becomes really good at eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where they're all selling their stuff to make any money. He's thinking about Robin and...
Yeah, it's like, you know, Wolverine actually paid to have his adamantium skeleton removed by Magneto so they could sell it.
Right. Like, oh my God, you killed Captain America? No,
I bought his shield, yeah.
Bought it now.
He's desperate, man.
My PayPal account is insane.
That's right.
But...
I made a lot of money on disaster scams in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and thousands.
Right. There's one self-perpetuating workforce that
Hulk smashed, Banner cleaned up.
there's one class of job that I really think would become the self-perpetuating job in this economy, and we touched on it a little bit, but becoming a henchman is sort of like, you know, the Walmart of this economy.
Oh, that's so true.
Like, you know, always hiring. Always AIM and Hydra will always, if you have a loose enough moral system, which by the point at which the economy gets to where it is, you're going to have that. Because Tony Stark ain't hiring like Baron Von Strucker does.
That's right.
That's for sure, you know. There ain't as much, you know, thug work for the Justice League as there is for as you know, so you've got a really open opportunity to put on a yellow beekeeper's costume and stand on the front line and make a living wage. The risk is there.
Oh, absolutely. Like any sort of mercenary position. But also, you know, the money's pretty good.
Right.
You got paid vacations, you've got health care from day one.
Right.
And we're talking dental and eye.
Just one eye, though.
Yeah, just one. But, you know, that's why you've got two. You pick the eye, and we go from there.
Now, they might do some odd experiments on you during your AIM clinic stay, but at least you're getting something.
Well, you know, that's the problem with working for Hydra, because Strucker is so fixated on the one eye that he bothers to put a corrective lens in front of.
Little selfish.
Yeah, he forgets that most people prefer glasses over monocles.
Right.
So, but they save billions every year on the eye,
on the single eye care.
Yeah, on the single eye care.
He looks at it this way: if he can do it with one,
yeah, if he can run an entire super secret
nefarious
spy organization that's outlasted so many others,
then you can tote this bale.
Take that, Annie Men.
You can move this log with one eye.
That's right. You'd be surprised the power of, well, there's like motivational posters, you know. You'd be surprised what you could do with just one eye.
In the land of Hydra, the man with one eye is
king. Apparently so.
It doesn't make any sense, but somehow it works.
Well, who's going to question, you know, the penalties for questioning?
That's right.
You know, but the thing about it is, like, you know, let's say you go and, you know, you're working for the Penguin for
yes.
a few years. And then, you know, he gets hauled off to jail. And somehow during the top-to-bottom cleanup, you get missed. You know, the thing about it is, these guys network, and they all talk to each other. It's like film directors and stuff. You know, they always hire all the same people for their next film.
Right.
So, you know, Penguin gets out of Arkham or what have you, and he's gonna look you up. And, you know,
exactly.
if you're not already working for Deathstroke or for, you know, for the Killer Crocs.
The Killer Crocs!
You know, you can, the Crockies, as they're called, then you might be able to...
Crockophiles.
Yeah, there's a lot of jobs in Gotham, because there's lots of villains. There's this whole resource pool they're all drawing from.
Right. So there's got to be is there some sort of villain union that we don't know about?
I think there's something going on, because I think there's this sort of deliberate disregard for the henchmen. Because I think that... Speaking of the economy, the Gotham Police Department, Arkham Asylum, the prison system, everybody would go out of business if they didn't keep at least three or four Batman villains out on the street at all times.
Right. Right. So it's the lesser of the evil.
Yeah, so they need to make sure they've got some kind of support network, because after a while, you know, they're going to have to go with a temp service, or they're begging in other states like oil companies do.
And here's the thing, right? You were talking earlier about how there's not a lot of room in the lackey community for upward mobility.
Absolutely, yeah. You never see anybody, you know, who's like, is second or third in command. I think Ra's al Ghul is one of the few people who ever named a lieutenant. You know, Ubu probably worked for him for about 1,000 years before he worked his way up to that point.
But
every time an Ubu gets killed, apparently it's a whole damn family, so good luck being the next Ubu.
Right, it's a legacy.
You know, you think it was amazing Flounder got into Delta House, chances of you ever getting into the upper echelon of the League of Shadows.
But the real question here is this, right? You've got guys like Ubu, you've got guys like Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Do you remember the Fenris twins?
The Fenris twins.
Yeah, so you've got guys that are definitely named henchmen, Crossbones.
Because Tweedledee and Tweedledum are kind of unique in that they kind of freelance
a little bit.
If Mad Hatter's out, they'll work for him. But if he's in the pokey, they'll work for themselves.
Right, right.
So they do a little, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
You got to keep it going when they're you know, when they go to jail. The thing, that's the problem though. If you're a lackey, if you're a henchman, right, and you're Bob 3 or something, and somebody, and you know, your Crossbones gets taken out, or your what was his name, the golden guy, the guy from Spider-Man who worked for Hammerhead.
Molten Man, or no?
Yeah, when one of those guys gets taken out or gets pinched, and they come to you to ask, all of a sudden, you don't want that name recognition because of the responsibility that comes with it. So it's really a tough decision.
Well, also, you know, what I was talking about earlier, like in Gotham, you're better off not being a name guy. Because you're a name guy, you're going either to Blackgate or to Arkham, and neither of those are good places to be. You know, you might spend a couple of nights in county, but they're going to turn you right back out again because the Joker's on the loose and he's going to need help.
Right.
And, you know, again, it comes down to that economy. We're willing to let this happen because it's good for business, you know?
Yeah. All right. It's time to wrap it up. We're at that point again. I think we did justice to this topic. Again, there's so much more.
Oh, yes. This is one we'll have to come back to again sometime because there are so many angles. And if you think of something we ought to have covered, and I'm sure there's plenty, drop us a line at jcumail@yahoo.com.
Right.
And let us know some angles that you might have on, and if there are any economists listening, God forbid, please write to us and tell us if we've inspired you to think about, well, you know, guys, you realize that this would wreck an economy.
Right. And if you do come up with anything and write us, there's a really good chance that we'll bring it up on the next HKC, Hey Kids Comics Live.
That's so true.
Which is on deepellumonair.com, the second Saturday of every month. So we've got one coming up.
October 11th.
Again, we've already discussed how we had to come to terms with our wrongness when it came to the Super Twins. So we will gladly.
Absolutely. We will acknowledge every mistake we make because we go into them prepared to make a great many.
That's right. So why don't we do some plugs and we'll get on out of here and then go try to make some money as a lackey for Goldface.
Hey, nobody ever helps Goldface out.
For Caesar over in Gotham because I look good in a toga.
Or Maxi Zeus.
If you're
looking for togas, he's partial to those as well.
And then you got to go get it made. I wonder how many of those they have brought in. Do they have Avery pick them up and clean them?
Well, there's another thing. Yeah, the supervillain uniform service.
Exactly.
And they also, oddly enough, at your hideout, Mm-hmm. They'll come in and replace the carpets.
The runners, you know, right. They'll come in.
And the little mats at the front for people to wipe their feet on.
And your hand sanitizer, because the hand sanitizer business.
That is a very important thing.
Right.
To maintain workplace cleanliness.
I'm pretty sure Purell finances all of Hydra at this point.
Pretty much. Or vice versa.
That's
some good commerce.
More questions than answers when it comes to Purell, apparently.
Well, we just opened up another can of worms.
All right.
We'll have to let those go for now. You're, of course, coming to you through the auspices of the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. And you can write to us, as aforementioned, at jcumail@yahoo.com. Look for us on Twitter, The Jedi Cole U, at The Jedi Cole U, I should say. We now have if you go on YouTube, you can find the Jedi Cole Universe YouTube channel, which is now we're having occasional video selfies, which I'm not going to claim we've invented, but as far as I care, we invented them.
Ours are better.
And ours are better if anybody else was already doing the video selfie. And the Jedi Cole Universe, the expanding Jedi Cole Universe now includes not only the Rantcore Pit Live, which is every other Sunday, but now the second Saturday of every month, because I just love being over there at their studios. Hi, Jansen. You can catch Hey Kids Comics Live, as
That's
previously
right.
mentioned. So you have a double shot of Jedi Cole Universe three times a month, sometimes four, depending on how a month falls.
Right.
And you can check us out at deepelemonair.com. And we do have the archive is there, as well as on the Jedi Cole Universe site. I will be, when this airs, about a week away from being on a panel on podcasting and blogging at Wizard World, Texas in Austin. The Wizard World Austin Comic Con, I believe it is.
Yes.
And about either 11 or 11:30 to 12 or 12:30, something along those lines. We'll have a definitive notation of that on the JCU. But if you're kind of keen on, now you know about Wizard World Texas coming up in mid-October, the August they call October.
This.
or early October, I should say, first weekend of October.
Right.
Otherwise, I'd miss my own damn show for Deep Elm.
Still a possibility.
Yeah. I nearly missed the last Grand Corvette Live for us just hanging out thinking the door wasn't open. So, wow. But if you want to know about other conventions in the state of Texas that weekend and every weekend that there are shows, and that's damn near everyone, visit Convention Awareness Project Texas at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com. You can find myself, Andrew, and some of the other JC usual suspects over at the United States of Geekdom at unitedstatesofgeekdom.com, where Rick leads us through the treacherous jungles of fandom geekdom and other dums.
All the dums and the D's.
And I'm spent.
Okay, well, I will be, because of my current employer
and
her awesomeness, I currently work for a Role to Play in Coppell, Texas, a little plug for them.
Role to Play, R-O-L-L,
numeral 2, play. Roleplay.com.
Yes, do check them out. If you're in Coppell, check out Andy.
But due to the hospices of the job, I will be at FinCon this weekend that drops. So if you want to come by and say hi, I'll be at the Role to Play booth, shilling my wares and trying not to pimp the podcast too awful much. So come by and say hi there. Again, that same weekend, Cole's going to be where are you going to be? Austin?
I will be in Austin, Texas, at the Wizard World Austin. So be sure and drop by, and if you see me there on the panel, or if you see me out wandering around, in my normal Jedi Cole attire of some t-shirt I custom made and some shirt I bought at a Goodwill. And, approach me. And you can...
With caution. Don't break eye contact with the car.
That's right. I will have the Series 4 Jedi Cole Universe trading card available, as well as the special edition Deep Elemon Air trading card.
Very nice. All right, so next week we got another show coming up. We've got the live show coming up. All the stuff over at JCU, go check it out. Lots of awesome shows over there. So until next week, buy, collect, and enjoy comic books. Even if you can't afford them because you live in a world where Galactus just came and took a bite out of Uruguay. So, with that being said,
I also have to point out quickly, one more JCU personality, PJ Dunn, aka Vega Bomber of, Do It Yourself. Vega Bomber of Do It Yourself will be at the North Dallas Toy Show.
Okay.
At Valley View Mall.
There you go.
So check out all of these shows on the Convention Awareness Project. There will be links there to all of their individual websites or Facebook pages or whatever they have available, and you can get all the details. So you have three opportunities in the state of Texas the same weekend to meet some of your JCU personalities.
That's right. All right, guys, until next week, say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, and have a pleasant economy.
Watch those tax breaks. Remember, you can vote these people out of office. That's all I'm saying. Speak with your votes.
Unless you're in Latveria, in which case.
Yeah, no free technology. Speak with your votes. America! We don't like it when aliens make our toasters!